Let me begin with our scripture lesson today. I imagine this is going to be a pretty familiar scripture lesson for most of us here. It comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. It's the story of Zacchaeus. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and say, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay it back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I'm going to ask the two of you, if you would, share a song with us. We've been looking forward to this. Thank you.
Ever knew we should be looking for something more in this town. And this town never had a reason for a metaphor. Now we're seeing things we've never seen before. But you've adored this town. And this town never seen nothing like you before. Never knew we should be looking for something more in this town. This town never had a reason for a metaphor. Now I see it, we've never seen it before. But you're the God of this town.
Good to see you. Glad that you're here. Online, welcome again. And if you would, online, in the comment section, leave your location. It's always fun to see what this small community is doing in terms of locally, but also what we're doing online with all of you as an extended part of our family. So thank you for that. My message this morning is entitled Uncommon Love, Uncommon Value. In looking at our scripture today, I would like to actually begin at the end. That is, I'd like for us to start with the last verse of what we read. I'd like to begin there because I actually think that it's going to help us understand what's really going on in the story. You see, one of the most difficult things to do in looking at Bible verses, particularly ones that are like today's scripture that we know so well, it's difficult to bracket out what we think we know and allow the verse to speak anew as if for the first time. This Bible story, in particular, is very difficult to come at anew. It's pretty much a guarantee thing that if you went to Sunday school growing up, you sang the song Zacchaeus was a leading man. We know the song well. We know the story well. We think we know what we're supposed to derive from it. And that's part of why I think it is important. It is important for us to start our look at these scriptures today by going and just jumping to the ending. Let's see where we are going, and maybe it will help inform our journey just a little bit. Let's understand why the author of Luke decided to tell this story, and then go back to the story and see how it's done. Now that way we might be able to bracket out just a bit of what we think that we know about the verse and give it just a little bit more space to speak to us anew. So our final verse, verse 10, says, "For the Son of Man came to seek out and serve the lost." So this is a story about serving the lost, about saving the lost. Now, we'll need to sort out exactly what being lost is and who the lost are, but that's our anchor for this story. That's the thing that we should keep in mind. This is a story about saving the lost. And so with that established, let's also consider where it is that the author of Luke places this story in all of Jesus' journey. So the very next thing that happens after this story, the very next thing in Luke, is Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem. So this is it. This is the last sort of official act of Jesus' ministry before the beginning of the ending of the story. The last thing that Jesus does in his ministry before entering Jerusalem for the final countdown, the last thing he does is save the lost. It's sort of the exclamation point on his ministry in Luke, which makes the story all the more important. And like I said, all of that makes it a bit imperative for us to sort out exactly what is being lost and who the lost are. Let's start with what is being lost, or what being lost is. If we begin with the assumption, and I'd like to revisit this again in just a minute, but if we begin with the assumption that Zacchaeus is the lost, what does it tell us about who the lost are? Well, the obvious place to start is what he did for a living. It's not only the logical place to start, but based on his response to Jesus once they make it into his home, it's also easy to think it is the only thing we need to consider here. You see, when they get to his place, he explains to Jesus that he'll be adopting a new financial plan for his life. He'll not only be giving 50% of everything he has to the poor, but he will be also giving back four times over to anyone that he has treated wrongly. So, it would seem that his role as tax collector is important here. Just looking at the focus of the story alone tells us it must be a pretty big contributor to his lostness. And it makes some sense. Jesus has already taught that the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. So, perhaps the most telling thing about his promise to Jesus to give half of what he has away and to pay back four times over to those he's wronged is not, it's not so much that he has a lot of money and that makes him lost. But perhaps the most telling thing about his lostness, is the kind of person he had to become to get that kind of money that makes him lost. He seems to have been perfectly fine with cheating people if he could gain some money. He valued money more than he valued people. For him, the love of money was indeed the root of all sorts of evil. Now, being that we are only a month or so away from stewardship season, and the fact that we truly do need each person to give to their fullest ability if we hope to have a balanced budget next year, it shouldn't surprise you that I'd be pretty happy if the idea of lostness stopped right here in this story. I'd be able to spend the rest of this sermon talking about how we all value money a little too highly, about how we hold on to it so tightly, even as others are starving and are living on the streets, about how Zacchaeus, just like him, we tend to value our money much more than we value following the teachings of Jesus. About how we tend to follow the teachings of Jesus from a distance, sitting in our high trees of security and safety, all the while Jesus calls us to come down from our trees and to live life more fully by letting go of the things society values and embracing the things Jesus tried to teach us to value. I could do that, but I won't. You see, I believe that there's more to this story than just the financial message. I believe there's more to Zacchaeus' lostness than simply the way that he values money more than people. I believe that Zacchaeus is lost in more ways than one Here's the thing, as I've already noted, this was Luke's exclamation point at the end of the ministry of Jesus. And being the careful storyteller that Luke is, it would be highly unusual for Luke to make this last story be all about valuing money over people when you consider that Jesus' ministry was about so much more than just that. And this is where I want to come back to our assumption of what being lost is and who is lost. I think the key to what else is going on here is found in verse 7. It's a verse that in many ways is an echo of what we hear throughout Jesus' ministry. Which makes it a pretty good candidate as a guide for the larger statement that Luke's trying to make here about the whole of Jesus' ministry. Verse 7 says, "All who saw it began to grumble and said, 'He being Jesus, has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner.'" One of my all-time favorite Christian authors is Frederick Peter. He describes Zacchaeus and his story this way. Zacchaeus stood barely 5 foot tall with his shoes off and was the least popular man in Jericho. He was a tax collector for Rome in the district, and he made such a killing out of that he was the richest man in town as well as the shortest. When word got around that Jesus would soon be passing through, he shimmied up into a sycamore tree so that he could see something more than just the back of other people's heads. And that's where he was when Jesus spotted him. "Zacchaeus," Jesus said, "get down out of there in a hurry. I'm going to spend the night with you." Whereupon all of Jericho snickered up their sleeves to think he didn't have better sense than invite himself to the house of a man that nobody else would touch with a 10-foot pole. If you think about it, Zacchaeus was lost in more ways than one. Yes, he was lost in the way that he treated people because of his love of money, but he was also lost because of the way people treated him. He was a man that nobody else would touch with a 10-foot pole. He was despised. He was marginalized. He was a social outcast. In the eyes of the people of Jericho, it wasn't just his stature that made him a wee little man. He was lost. But here's the thing. So were all those people who marginalized and looked down on him. Jesus saw him in his lostness, alone in that tree. He looked past all the judgments and self-imposed values the people of Jericho were heaping on Zacchaeus, and he saw him as a lost human being, fully deserving of love. And in that, he saw Zacchaeus, just as each one of us, common value. This really is the perfect exclamation point to Jesus' ministry. Zacchaeus is all at once everything we don't want to be and everything that we are. As Buechner points out, he is Aaron whooping it up with the golden calf the moment his brother's back is turned. He's Jacob conning everybody, including his own father. He's Nebuchadnezzar with his taste for roasting the opposition, and he's Paul holding the lynch mob's coats while they go to work on Stephen. He is Saul the paranoid and David the stud, and he is the mealy-mouthed friends of Job. He's even the ones who betrayed the people who loved them best, such as Absalom and poor Peter and even old Judas. In modern terms, he's Mitch McConnell and he's President Biden. He's Rachel Maddow and he's Sean Hannity. He's the 20-something working at a dive bar and the 30-something working just to pass the bar. He's the guy living on the streets and the traders working on Wall Street. Zacchaeus is you. Zacchaeus is me. It's a lesson that even the narrator of children's book series, A Series of Unfortunate Events, Lemony Snicket, understood. As he said, people aren't either wicked or noble. They're like chef salads, with good things and bad things chopped in and mixed together in a vinaigrette of confusion and conflict. There is failure and potential in each one of us. Every one of us misses the mark when it comes to being what we could be, and yet each one of us are not only worthy of the love of God, but each of us are a unique expression of it. We are wicked and noble. We are a mixed bag of goods, of good and bad, topped with a vinaigrette of confusion and conflict. We are only human, and we are a reflection of the divine. As the story goes, the divine breathed life into us. We are the wee little man, the wee little woman. We have potential beyond the stars of the universe at the same time. We are a dime a dozen and chock full of uncommon value. This is more than a story about lostness. This is also a story about value, about where society places it in stature, both physically and sociologically, too. It's about where individuals place it in power and money, and where Jesus taught us to place it in potential, in change, in equality. We are each equally worthy of God's love. None of us, not one of us, are thought to be untouchable. While the people of Jericho may have seen Zacchaeus as a wee little man, as a man who no one would touch, even with a 10-foot pole, Jesus saw the uncommon value in him, the uncommon value in each one of us. Jesus called him down from his tree and traveled with him to his home. What some may call the salvation that came to Zacchaeus' home was not because Zacchaeus' decision to restructure his financial life. The salvation that came to his home was uncommon love. The uncommon love that Jesus shared. When we follow the teachings of Jesus in this story, it calls us down from the perceived safety of our security, of our trees, and it comes into our homes and our day-to-day lives. We are saved from the division and separateness the world constantly heaps upon us. The divisions we create with our politics, nation of origin, sex, class, race, sexual attraction, age, religion, so many other things begin to fade away as we recognize the uncommon value each one of us possesses. Our salvation comes as we realize that there is something we can learn from each person we meet. That there is a unique expression of God's love in each person just waiting to connect with us and grow us all closer to God, creation, and to each other. And that may be the larger part of the point of the story. We are not so much saved toward God, we are saved towards each other. And I don't know, maybe that is being saved towards God. It does seem that is ultimately how the lost are saved. We stop seeing them as lost. We see, just as Jesus said of Zacchaeus, that they too are sons and daughters of Abraham, filled with the unique expression of God's love, full of uncommon value. Amen. If we could, would you favor us with another song, please?
stars and out in your eyes. Darling, my darling, the words I've been meaning to say, come to me in this lullaby, in the times when you went away.
So much. For those who are here and online, we've had this across the screen online. If you're interested in hearing more from Emma and Tyler, you can go to theghostofliberty.com.
I think so.
I always mix up the commas and more.
Yeah.
But definitely check them out. I think you're going to appreciate all the music that they have there for you. We're entering into a more inward reflective time now. I invite you to pray with me or consider meditation or just take a moment of calmness and allow words to come and grab the ones that are the most meaningful full to you. So I would ask if you would bow your heads with me now. Sometimes in this life, we find ourselves playing the role of Zacchaeus, watching all that is happening in the world from a vantage point in the relative safety of our self-secured trees. Even as we're called to come out of it, invited to truly experience life. And with all of creation, even in our most sincere moments, we can find ourselves, like Zacchaeus, throwing money at the problems, being willing to invest our resources, but not ourselves into those who are lost and alone and hurting. In that, may we see that we too are lost. May we hear more clearly your call to come down from our trees. May we follow the teachings of Jesus more closely, learning to value all people, even those with whom we disagree, dislike, disapprove. May we grow ever more fully into the reflections of love that we are called to be. Grant us the vision, even if only brief glimpses at first, to see a reflection of love in each person we meet. And may we gain the will to risk coming down from our trees that we might begin to create a world of equality and justice for all.